is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The U.S. economy, the global economy, in recovery. Pause Omicron. Pause inflation. Liz Peek, columnist at The Hill, columnist at Fox News, much on Fox Business, here to start the new year framing the stories that we're worried about. Worry is a way of translating, I worry about my money. So you worry in general. And the markets have risen precipitously for 2 years. The S&P 500, dauntingly high, beating all the fancy money managers, the certainty of the 500 largest stocks. And now we come to the third year of the pandemic. And what is to be done? Liz, a very good evening to you. We can't solve the pandemic, so we can talk about the global economy and the U.S. economy. Global first. Europe is troubled by the same pandemic we are, the Omicron. China is through a glass darkly. I can't see, except for they keep lowering their expectations of the new year. Perhaps that's defensively anticipating a better than expected number. Perhaps it's internal problems. But how do you measure the global economy, given that we depend upon trade, we depend upon customers, we depend upon the supply chain at the beginning of the third year of the pandemic? Good evening to you, Liz.
Good evening, John. It's an interesting situation right now because globally, what is really driving economic activity and expansion is money supply growth. You've got on average, for the four biggest money supply regions, the United States, Eurozone, UK, and China, they're up 9% year to year in November on their growth in their money supply. And I think most anyone would tell you that has been and will continue to be for the foreseeable future, incredibly strong lift for the economy. I say it will be for the foreseeable future because in the United States, even though the Fed has talked about tapering, they are still pumping money into the economy at a pretty rapid rate. The Eurozone is becoming more cautious, as is the UK. But the truth is there has been just so much money flooding into these big economies that has impact for probably a year after it stops. And again, in the United States, it hasn't even stopped yet. So that is really a big push. And I think that what we have is some monetary authorities like the Fed getting concerned about inflation. That is clearly our number one challenge right now. Other economic groups or monetary authorities becoming a little less distracted by that and still pushing for growth, which they are in China, for example. So it's kind of a mixed bag, but the truth is right now economic activity is very strong. The consensus is that we will have, at least for the foreseeable future, notwithstanding the change in Fed future policy, pretty much what we've seen. In other words, jobs are plentiful and not being filled. The JOLTS number, the job opening number, came out today, and we saw a slight drop in the number of jobs available, but still over 10 million, huge number. Still a lot of people resigning. You know, they're talking about the great resignation. 4.5 million people quit their jobs in November. And, you know, is that because they're worried about COVID? November wasn't too terrifying on that front, I don't think. I think we'll be debating this issue for some time, why so many people are not in the workforce right now. It's obviously a big, big challenge that the Biden administration is basically ignoring, in my view. Here at home, I mentioned inflation as a problem. I think we are going to be looking at possibly a December kind of or end of year headline CPI number of something over 7%. I mean, that's going to be staggeringly high, but that's kind of what we're looking at. Again, a lot of it being driven by not enough workers, too much money. Money supply in December was up something like 13%. You had an administration focused on things like trying to attack rising meat prices by accusing meat processors of antitrust behavior. Yes. I mean, it's not particularly helpful. That's what they're doing.
I'm glad you flagged that, Liz. I'd forgotten I read that headline. They used the word crackdown. Crackdown on meat On meat business, the meat business, crackdown. That's the kind of word you use when you're Elliot Ness and you're going after the breweries that are illegal. You know, crackdown. It's odd.
Yeah.
Now, Liz, inflation. I had this number pass in front of me that something that was available for 99 cents a pound a couple of weeks ago is now $1.29 a pound. I don't know how to explain inflation like that except for the fact that it's every enterprise for itself. They're going in all different directions. According to the YouGov poll, however, Americans get it. We're living with the fear of inflation for the remainder of this year. Is the Federal Reserve speaking in a fashion that suggests it's listening to us?
Well, they have. Again, they did shift their policy. They quickened the tapering of their bond buying program to end in March instead of June. They have signaled two or possibly three rate hikes this year. I was about to say this coming year, this current year. But again, I think it's all too little too late. I mean, we'll see. We'll see whether they have to more aggressively increase interest rates. I was interested to see the 10-year was up to over 1.6 yesterday, which is sort of a reversal. I think the markets are going to have to deal with the idea that interest rates are going to be going up at some point. So far, investors really have been sort of immune to that. One interesting thing, just on a side note, today the market turned around pretty sharply when the ISM number came out. The ISM number was not bad, but it wasn't quite as that's the index that measures manufacturing activity, and it's been on a long winning streak. We've had many years now of month-to-month increases in manufacturing, and today was no different. It was above 50 points, 58.7, but down a little bit from November and a little bit short of expectations. And I kind of wonder whether people are just so on edge about a slowdown here. I mean, what happened when this number came out is the market went from being up strongly across the board to NASDAQ getting hammered. And I just thought that was sort of interesting because the NASDAQ, all the big tech stocks now, are such an indicator of investor anxiety, if you will. If all of a sudden a number comes out that isn't well received, it's the tech stocks that really get hit because those, of course, have been the big winners. So anyway, I just sort of flagged that as, you know, there has been some talk about the big R word, recession, a slowdown. I don't see anything like that really on the horizon near term, but I think investors are very wary about that. They're worried that any kind of aggressive measures to tackle inflation might cause a real slowdown. But John, if I could add one more thing, I think what's happened is we've gone from inflation being the result of too much government stimulus and fiscal and monetary policy being ridiculously loose and also supply chain problems to now it's being sort of, those all still exist, but I think the emphasis now and over the last several months has really been worker shortages. There's just not enough people, and heaven knows Omicron has made it much, much worse.
We come to the dispute not only among the ordinary people like us, but also about the big central bankers are in dispute, Liz. I read from the Wall Street Journal's headline, investors, here's how to brace for the year of central bank divergence. Divergence being a polite word that there's a feud. The Federal Reserve, the Bank of England, and the Bank of Canada say there's inflation. We're going to respond. The European Central Bank and the Bank of Japan, I'm following the reporting here, say no. Supply chain bottlenecks, that causes it. So the great masters of money are in conflict right now. So how can ordinary people predict the year? That would be a source of that uncertainty, Liz, about
you're
willing to accept bad news as the real thing.
I think that's right. I think the Fed responded earlier than the ECB, certainly. And the UK and Canada, have been on the same sort of track. I always think the Europeans are sort of lagging. I also think their economies are just generally speaking not as robust. But you've had really pretty good demand numbers in Germany and some of their other big economies. So I'm not sure why they will lag much behind us. Japan is in its own world. I have no idea what the Japanese are thinking. But I would think the Europeans will get on board if and when inflation becomes as big a topic there as it is here. Don't forget, Germany is like apoplectic when they see inflation creeping into their economy, and it is there now. So I don't think that divergence with the ECB can continue.
Is Mr. Powell's renomination and reconfirmation when it happens, is that contingent upon him remaining dovish going forward? Is he in a position to be hawkish if necessary?
Not until he's confirmed would be my assessment, but definitely not before he was nominated by President Biden. I'm afraid he's only human. I'm afraid that, in fact, there was some political influence in his overly easy stance and his reluctance to really tackle inflation earlier. Because, John, you and I have talked about this for the better part, maybe over
all
a year.
Oh, we talked about it all year. We're on repeat here from January 2021. Yeah.
It's true. There were plenty of signals that the Fed should have been watching and plenty of data to indicate that inflation was worse than they expected. The fact that they got it wrong by 100% is really not very reassuring, and I think they're still wrong. I mean, I can't remember their current estimate, but I think it's 3%, under 3% for this current year. I don't know if you saw IKEA just announced that they were going to be raising prices 9% on average, and this is a very price-sensitive brand. So I think you're just seeing, you know, companies leaping on having to raise prices or announcing price increases because they know it's sort of expected now, and their costs have gone up. So, I mean, rather than sit and take a margin hit, I think a lot of companies are going to be announcing price increases, but 9% really seems shocking to me.
The way I shop now on Amazon is if there's 4 left, I'm presuming that means 4 left at this price. So go for it. Don't doubt yourself.
Yeah. And of course, that just feeds the machine, you know. I mean, everyone's expectations have gone up. Consumers now think inflation, according to the University of Michigan survey, will be almost 5% by year end. I think that could be right.
Liz Peek, columnist at The Hill, columnist at Fox News, much on Fox Business, commenting on the global and U.S. economy. Now politics are back, not Build Back Better this time, but it is the Senate that is the question, led by Mr. Schumer. And the filibuster is the contest. When we come back, this is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.